Well, I would appreciate your prayers. Thankful for Jesus tonight. Glad that He's made access for us to be able to come to Him. And I'm glad tonight for God's grace. It's a powerful grace. There's nothing that God would have us to do, no matter how hard or difficult it might seem, that His grace isn't sufficient for. There is no commandment in the Bible that pertains to righteousness and the way we live life that we can have an excuse and say, I can't do it.
That's right.
We could if it wasn't for the grace of God.
That's right.
But because of the grace of God, yes, there is no excuse that we can make, no matter how hard the situation is, no matter how difficult the change may be, mm-hmm, that He's called us to, no matter what job He's called you to, you can do it.
That's right. Amen.
Because of His grace, you can do it.
Yes.
There has been many people that have stopped and said, I can't do it. And I agree that in our own strength, there's a lot of things that we can't do.
Yes.
But I believe by God's grace,
amen,
that we can do anything.
Glory.
Jesus said, without me, you can do nothing.
That's so.
But He also said in Jesus, we can do everything, in all things. We can do all things through Christ that strengthens me.
No,
there's nothing that we can't do or accomplish. And when I look back through the history of those that went before us and see the things that they accomplished, the things that they did, it's a challenge. It's a great challenge to us. Of what they was able to do, go through, was able to accomplish by the grace of God. That there has been people. If you and I tonight want to make an excuse for why I can't forgive somebody, you ought to go study what some people have done. In the lines of forgiving somebody. There was a story several years ago of a woman whose daughter was abducted and abused and murdered. And the guy was apprehended, brought to trial, found guilty. All the evidence was there, and she had a right to face him and tell him, as a mother of the only child I had, you took her away from me, hideously, selfishly, evil. And she faced him and said, I love you.
Wow.
Said, I love you and forgive you, and Jesus forgives you. I want to tell you, if you can't forgive tonight, you ought to think of those that have. Because they have, by the grace of God. When we get into those places, by the grace of, not by our own strength or ability, we'll fail every time. But by God's grace, we're able to go through and be what God would have us to be. Jesus already told us that we're to forgive others their trespasses as we would have Him forgive us our trespasses. We already know in order to be forgiven, we're going to have to forgive, see? Well, how are we going to be able to do it when it's bigger than I am? When the meditations that I come, only hardness comes. Only revenge comes to my mind. Only how hard you hurt me, or what you belittled me, or what you done to me comes to me. How am I going to be able to do that by the grace of God? I'm building a case for the grace of God tonight, but that's not what I want to preach about. I'll preach about something else. But I want us to know about how powerful. I don't want you to end up thinking that I went away from the idea, because I'm not going away from the idea that the grace of God is powerful in our lives to do for us what we can't do for ourselves that has to be done.
Amen. Power.
Understand that. There is things I can't run away from. There's situations that I can't run away from. Put it simply, I made a vow almost 20 years ago that I was going to keep my wife till death do us part. I said more than keep her. Made a vow to it.
That's right.
It's going to take the grace of God to keep us. Not cause my wife, Sister Mary, not cause my wife, okay? Cause of me. No, ain't my wife, but because of me, I'm going to have the grace of God. And what I'm saying is, I can't leave that. I can't say I'm not going to need grace because I'm not going to be around. No, I'm going to have to be around, see? Well, when it comes to the relationships that we have to one another, I'm not going anywhere. So here I am. So what am I going to do? I'm going to lean heavy on the grace of God. That's what I have to do. Lord, I can't do this by myself. I am not able to do it. Not big enough to do it. Don't have the fortitude to do it. Well, how am I going to go ahead loving someone that did me wrong? I'm commanded to do it. Love your enemies, he said. He said, "You." It's been said before, to love your neighbor and hate your enemy. I want to tell you something else. Love your enemy. Well, now wait a minute, Lord. Now it's easy enough to love them that love me. So I can show respect to them to show me respect. I can act right to them to act right. You're telling me to love my enemy? Then how am I going to do it? I can't run from that situation. It's right there. My enemy can be anybody. You classify an enemy as somebody that's against you. Might be my neighbor. Might be somebody that used to be a friend. Might be my own brother. Might be somebody beside me. Yes. What am I going to do? Yes. Bible says to love them. Can I run from that? No, can't run from it. What am I going to have to do? Love them?
That's
how?
Right. That's right.
By the grace of God.
Yes,
the Lord can help me. And I want to tell you tonight, He has many, many, many times. And I want to offer it to you tonight too. I believe the Lord's offering you that what's the scripture that says, for the grace of God that bringeth salvation has appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust that we should live soberly, righteously, and godly right here in this present world. It ain't in the future to come. Right here, we're going to have the grace that brings salvation into our lives to be able to accomplish what the Lord would have for us to accomplish. You think that you can live soberly, righteously, and godly right here in this life? You better. That's what the Bible says. How are you going to do it? By the grace of God that bringeth salvation, and the grace of God that has appeared to all men to give us that.
Yes.
So tonight I want to offer, In the name of the Lord, He comes offering the grace that He bought on Calvary. A power of His Spirit. The power to be able to overcome. You don't have to be down in the pig trough anymore. You don't have to live in the carnality of people down here in this area to where you have to have grudges and hate and snarl at one another and be animalistic. You don't have to be in that kind of a place. I like to tell the whole world tonight, you don't have to kill your offspring. Yeah, I know it come, and you wasn't expecting it, or you want to get rid of it, and it's going to cramp your life. There's something bigger than all that. It's the grace of God. The grace of God can lift you up on a plane above all those kind of things. We wasn't created to be hogs, folks. We wasn't created to be like the beasts of the field. Old tomcat will kill its own offspring. It will. You ever know that, old buck rabbit? Anybody ever raise rabbits will tell you have to separate the buck out when she has the little ones, cause the buck, he'll go, I want to tell you why he does it. He goes in and kills the little ones so she'll come back in the cycle again. The little buck will kill the little one's offspring. They'll do it. Many animals do that. Folks, we're not animals. We were created in the image of God. We're not to be down on a level like that. And what's going to lift us above the animalistic ideas? The grace of God. By the grace of God, we don't have to be that way. Now, the world's going on without the grace of God. That's why it's like it is.
Yeah.
But you can have the grace. The grace of God can lift you up out of all those places that you can have victory.
Yeah.
Victory in your life over those kind of things. You say, well, how can I do it? I've smoked for years. By the grace of God. By the grace of God, you can be delivered from that habit. I've got a habit that's so deep into me, and so it's got to do it. You can be delivered by the grace of God tonight. There's a power that'll lift you out of that. There's no habit or situation that God can't deal with in your heart and life. It's by His grace and by His power that we can do all those things. So I'm very, very thankful for the grace of God. But I want to talk about something else. There is things mentioned in the scriptures that He didn't say to get grace for. He's got a powerful grace. In any situation that you find yourself in that you can't handle and you've got to be there, you can depend on the grace of God. But there's places where He said, get out of there.
Amen.
No, I'm leaving this unto you. Do you want to be in that? You know what? There's times that I go into places and maybe an old song that I grew up with will be, be playing. Well, I'm not much of a songster and it don't have a lot of effect on me, but there is times it gets stuck in the noodle for a while. You know what I'm talking about, the old songs like that. Well, if you were somebody, you know there's grace of God for that when you get into situations to where you can't help it and all of a sudden you're there and you're sitting in the dentist chair or or you're in a place like that and just now I didn't turn it on. I'm not playing it. But boy, you can't help from it falling in there. And there it is. Do you know there's grace of God for situations like that? But I want to tell you, when it comes to turning it on, the Lord says, ain't no grace for that one. There's grace to help you not to do it. But that decision to turn it on and want grace for it not to affect you isn't the way it works. Okay? There is things that's environmental, totally environmental, that you got to stay away from. And there's some mention in the scripture, and I want to look at it. Over in 1 Corinthians, First Corinthians 6 is what I want.
Yes.
I believe this is what I want.
1 Corinthians 6. I think I know where you're at. About the 17th, 18th.
Yeah, we're right there. I'm going to go back just a little bit, Brother Carl. It says, 14 says, and God hath both raised up the Lord and will also raise up us by His own power. Know ye not that your bodies are the members of Christ? Shall I then take the members of Christ and make them members of an harlot? God forbid.
Yeah.
What? Know ye not that... That's in a question. For what? Know ye not that he which is joined to a harlot is one body? For two saith he shall be one flesh. But he that is joined unto the Lord is one spirit. Listen to this. There's grace for you.
Yes.
Now, all right, what it says. It says, you can be right there and get... No, it doesn't. Flee.
Yes, that's what you got to do. Flee.
Flee fornication.
Amen.
I'm going to tell you, there's things in this world that's got such power, such a hook on you, so much power on you, that the Bible's definition of it is to run.
Yes.
Run. Don't stay there and just say, well, I'll get grace for this. This is demonstrated very well. If you remember the story, there was a young man that history said was a very, if you ever studied it, was a very good looking man. He's young and he was a beautiful child. His name was Joseph. His countenance was beautiful. He was a beautiful young man and he grew up to be, God had favor on him. But if you remember his brothers being jealous, they threw him into a well. Then after they said, well, kill him. Nah. They ended up saying, let's sell him. Send him, and the caravans come by and they sent him and they sold him into Egypt and he ends up in Potiphar's house.
That's right.
And Joseph was favored of the Lord.
Right.
He had a favor of the Lord on him. He had a spirit and he had a beauty of countenance. He was a good looking man. And he was smart. If you read any history about him, he had a lot going for him. And so he's in Potiphar's house. I don't know what Potiphar was, but I know what his wife was. His wife gets eyes for Joseph. Remember the story? What was Joseph's response? Get out of there. Get out of there. There wasn't a sense to say, well, I'm going to stay here and just get grace. I'm just going to get here and fight around with it. You're flirting with something that's too big. The scripture said flee fornication. Get away from it. Now listen, fornication's coming in our day and time today differently than it has been in a lot of other times. I can't be too specific here, so those at the table, you're going to have to look at, just read between the lines some here.
That's right.
There's a lot going on that is in the same spirit of that, and you can do it in a punch of a button.
Yep.
Yes. It can happen real quick.
That's right.
And you can do it. And the answer is not, I'll keep this instrument here, I'll keep it plugged up, I'll keep it online, I'll keep it right here, it's one button away and I'll have grace. I'm going to tell you, flee. Build the barriers you have to build for your soul's sake. There's grace. There's grace for you to run. Get out of there. Run away from it. Flee it. Get away from it. Build the barriers. Whatever you have to build. I want to say to you, in the fear of the Lord, this is unfortunately timely tonight. Understand what I'm saying?
Yes.
It's unfortunately right on time.
Yes.
When you're on your gadget, don't face the wall. Don't let it face the wall. I mean, turn it to the room if you have to. Brethren, give your wife the key to it, the password. Do whatever you have to do to guard yourself against this day. So I can do all that and have grace. And if that's been your experience and you can testify, I've had grace, good. But I want to tell you in the fear of the Lord what the Lord says. Flee fornication, young man. You're not strong enough in that situation to handle that. There's a great power of influence that some people have. And there's also, I want to say, in the fear of the Lord, there is besetting sins for every one of us that have individual places that maybe you don't need to stay away from, that I do. Those are places that you might see me hovering by you. Where's my money gone? He's getting out of there. That's where he's gone. Can't handle that. That's too much. So he says in this, flee it. Over and over and over, failures come. Over and over and over, failures come. Because there's an expectation of the grace of God where it's not. It's not in that place. I cannot set myself to say, I'm going to do something out of the bounds of God and expect His grace to be there to help me. When I know that that place is out of bounds, there's no grace. I'm going to have to stay within the bounds of the Lord. And when I get put into that place, and it wasn't by my own choosing, thank God there's grace. Thank God there's a powerful grace to keep me in those kind of places. But the answer is run. Get out of that situation. If you've had problems in your life with drinking, I don't know everybody here. Maybe there's been people that's had trouble with drinking here. But if you've had problems with drinking, stay out of the bar, brother.
Amen.
Well, there's grace. I can go in. Stay out of the bar, brother. Stay out of the bar. Well, somebody needs to go tell them. God will send somebody. So God will send somebody. He'll send His own spirit to it. Stay out of there.
Amen.
For your own soul, flee it. Run. Get away from those kind of things that's there to harm you, that you can't handle. I look at it this way. In the Old Testament, in the battle, in the Garden of Eden, this is interesting to me. In the Garden of Eden, there was two trees. We all know about the two trees. Now picture a real pretty, well, we can confine it down. We don't know how big it was. I guess there is some descriptions, but us imagine a real pretty garden with all the flowers and paths and little streams running and just whatever you would think of a Garden of Eden. Just beautiful. And we know that there's two trees in there of note.
Two trees.
Right?
Yeah.
There's the tree of life.
Amen.
And there is a tree of the knowledge.
That's right.
Of good and evil. And of the one the Lord said, you may freely eat.
Yes.
And of the other one he said, thou shalt not to eat it.
That's right.
And the one, when they said it back what he had said, he said he didn't even not to touch it.
Mm-hmm.
But the description in the scriptures is it was in the centra.
Uh-huh.
It's in the midst. The word was centra. There's two trees in the centra. Do you realize that both of them was in the midst, in the center of the garden? Well, if one was off in the far corner, if the knowledge been off in the far corner, you wouldn't have had to deal with it. Right? But if you're going to eat of the tree of life, you're going to have to deal with the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Because they both were in the midst. I wonder if their leaves over... Well, midst is confined fairly small. They both was in the midst. Brother, that's the way I describe the day we live in. There is great amount of information and enlightenment and knowledge all around us. You can get on the internet and go to churchofgodpreaching.com. And no doubt heard it, and if you'd be daring enough to do it, you could probably listen to everything I've preached for the last, I don't know, it's been, most of it's been recorded for the last couple of years. If you was daring enough to try that, you could do it. Or in anybody other than ministers. You can go listen to most all the recorded camp meeting singing. All the books that have been published has been out there somewhere. Our songbook has been digitized and you can get it online. You can get the songbook. You can get the Bible. You can get the commentaries. It's enlightenment. You can eat of the tree of good. You can eat of the tree of life, God's Word. The Spirit of what others have done. You can eat of all of that. And only a button touch. You can go into the filthiness and depravity of this world. All in the same moment of time. It's right there. You're going to have to deal with it. And there are things, folks, I'm going to tell you, flee. Run. When Joseph faced that Potiphar's wife, and she come with the seductive bat, there he goes! Why did he run? Because he had the propensities. He knew what it was. He had to get away from there. Lest he be caught. Well, it's better to be caught by Potiphar or thought of something than to be guilty before the Lord. And he wasn't going to be guilty before the Lord, and he ran out of there.
Yes, he did.
He didn't just say, I can handle this and just leave me up. No, I'm not going to fall for it. No, he knew he had to run. And today we need to run from some of these things. Set the barriers you have to set. Do whatever you need to do to protect yourself in this life.
Yes,
against the evil that's out there. It's not the only scripture that says that. Over in 1 Corinthians 10 and 14. Let's check that one out. 13, familiar scripture. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man, thank God. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted, above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape that you may be able to bear it. Isn't that a wonderful scripture? Now, Brother Carl, how many times have we encouraged one another with that? Over and over. It's almost as good as Romans 8 and 28 for that encouragement. Whenever you get a card, you're going through problems, Romans 8 and 28. Then that's when there's no temptation taking you. Now there's none taking you. It's a common demand. God will deliver you from it. Fine. You'll be okay. Oh, what encouragement in that. There's grace, he's saying. God ain't going to let you go through more. And then what does he say? Wherefore, my beloved brother, flee from idolatry. Flee from idolatry. Get away from it. Run. Run. Well, we look at idolatry in our day and time now. I think if we really, our eyes could be opened, the world's much more idolatrous than it was in the day that it was idolatrous. I mean, in the spirit of idolatry, it's very idolatrous. And in the ancient time, it seems kind of crazy to me in my mind. I've pondered it quite a bit. There was so much idolatry. And what they would do is that they would send these guys out and they'd cut down trees. Then they'd bring them in and they'd carve them into an image and then they'd overlay them. These guys with molten gold and they'd tap it in and they'd overlay it. They'd make their golden ones, they'd make their wooden ones, they'd make these ones. And craftsmen did it. And it's why it was so silly to my mind is that they set up a god and say, this is a god. And if I was there, I'd say, you ain't fooling me, I just saw you do it. You just made that thing, and the whole principle is, if you want to know, is nothing is greater than that created it. It can't be. And that's why God is great, and He's the greatest, and ain't never nothing going to be better than Him, and we surely ain't because He created us. The Creator is better than what He created. Okay? So, and the whole idea of adultery, it's pretty foolish to go out and get something that God made anyway, a tree, a rock, a stone, gold, and make it after something He made, a calf, I mean, or an image of something, or even a person. I mean, God made all of that. It's just His creation. It's pretty senseless to worship that. But that's not what idolatry was. Idolatry was much more than that. Idolatry really hinged on the human characteristics of those things. What they really was doing, it was a self-worship of man, generally speaking, and things that he admired. And many times, the reason why it was so successful in the ancient day was, obviously, they put sensual activity to it. It's kind of like saying, well, we ain't got enough people in here, so let's get something sensual that would stimulate people's senses. And let's go advertise that, and we'll have to put more chairs out. Because they'll want to come for the sensual activity. That's what idolatry ended up being, and almost all of them was a big, gigantic party. And they had a big time over it. And they convinced people that, and it would be natural to do, it would the things that happened around them, you know, they're there, and all of a sudden they're praying for something to happen, and a big storm comes. Well, their God gets the credit. That's the way it worked. We don't do all that today, but we sure follow the sensual path. I'm saying humanity sure lifts up a lot of things that belongs to God. That's God's in His worship. Many people give their hearts and their minds and stuff. I don't know how far to go with this because you can make an idol over about anything. Right. That you put more important than God, put more value to it, and make it your life about that, you can do that. Yeah. But I like to tell this anyway because it was pretty fascinating to me. I was out in Oklahoma several years ago and I was up early. In the morning, 10 o'clock-ish, and I say ain't early in the morning, but it's early for what was going on. And there was a radio broadcast. I heard the radio, and it was from Norman. And they, hey, how's it look out there? And the guy's out at 10 o'clock in the morning. How's it look out there at the stadium? Yeah, the reporter's out there. Yeah, it's a sea of crimson out here. Oh, there must be so many people out there. This and outside. Oh, yeah, it's football season. They're going to have a football game out there. That's what they're doing. They're going to have a football game. I thought, yeah, it's Saturday. It's Saturday. They have a football game at noon. A little bit, the guy said, yeah, well, we'll get back with you. Yeah, we'll see you later. Sometimes we'll get back later. Kickoff's at 6. 6 o'clock in the evening. Kickoff's at 6. These guys are out there at 10 o'clock in the morning. Church of God. 10 o'clock in the morning, they're out there pumping themselves up. Pumping themselves up. Pumping themselves up for what they love and do and all that. Church of God.
Preach it, brother. Preach it.
Come time for service. 9:30 Sunday school. Well, we'll wait a few minutes, see if everybody gets here. Truth. It's the truth. Oh, I'm going to church today. I don't feel like going. Well, they expect me down there. I am kind of the minister. Maybe I ought to go. Come on. Come on. I mean, honestly, they are pumped.
That's right.
This is their life. This is important. We're going to do everything we can to put our team up to the top. Going to do everything I can to make sure that it wins. That it wins. What about our team? What are we? What are we? My team. Jesus. Jesus is going to win. We're going to win souls. We're going to do something. We're going to get up early to get there. I'm going to pray before I get there. I'm going to get there and do it. What's the scripture say? There ain't no temptation taking you. God will take care of all that. But what are you supposed to do? Free idolatry. Free idolatry. Give God your true worship.
Amen.
Give Him your true worship. I've seen it over the years. Wednesday night's a perfect night for a headache. That's prayer meeting night for a lot of you. That's the best night to get a headache and have to stay home. Friday night basketball night's not a good night to have a headache. You very rarely do you have a headache on Friday night, Buck Carl. You have headaches on Wednesday night. Ailments are really rampant on Wednesday. At middle of the week, why? Let's look at our passion. What's it about to us? Do we really, are we really what we're supposed to be? Lord, help us.
Amen.
How much do we really care about this?
Amen.
Get up early in the morning. When I was young, I still remember this. We was deer hunters at my place. I mean, deer hunting's what it was about. We loved the deer hunt. And deer hunting, man, you could get up at 3 a.m. to get ready, Brother Carl. 3 a.m. Well, it didn't get light till 7. You couldn't shoot till 7. But that don't matter. You're pumped. You're pumped. You gotta get in your stand. You gotta get in the place. You gotta get dressed. You gotta have the right thoughts. You gotta get it ready. Gotta get it ready. You know, anything like that could be idolatrous.
That's
true. What about God? And how many times the scriptures tells us, there was a friend of mine one time what's your favorite football team? I said, I ain't got one. He said, mine's the Dallas Cowboys. He said, I think God likes the Dallas Cowboys. He picked at me because he knew I was religious, you know. He said, I think God likes the Dallas Cowboys. And I said, that reminds me. I told the guy, I said, yeah, well, maybe they'd win more if he did. But I said, I don't know, but it reminds me of Romans 1, I told him. Worshiping the creation. God ain't no human. God don't think like man does. To lower the glory of God down to like an image of man. Make him out like something like that. And lift other things up like they're something important. I'm going to tell you something about the sports world, wherever it is. I know the Bible, there was a lot of mentions of sports activities in the Bible. I mean, I wrestle, for instance, talking about the old games, or I run, I box, the different things that he's talking about, use it as analogies of those kind of things. Understand that. The running, we run a race, those kind of things. Understand all that. But I'll also say this, there's a lot of losers. Only one ends up being satisfied of the whole bunch, and everybody else loses, and they disheartened, and they let down, cause they're God. Let him down. I knew a guy that loved to fish. He got cancer. And I thought about it because he loved the fish and he loved the fish. But when he got down to the end of it, folks, I'm going to tell you, he got down to the end of it, there was no peace and no security. That's all he done. Fish, fish, that's what he wanted to do is fish. When he got down to the end of it and he knew cancer had got him and he knew he was short for this world and he'd never make another cast, he'd never reel in another big bass, when he realized that, his hope was gone, he was hopeless and had nothing to take him into eternity with.
Right.
It, his God let him down. Oh, it thrilled him while he was here. It gave him satisfaction. It gave him a peace to do it. He loved to do it. He could get rid of his stress. He could do it. He could go fish and he loved it and it's what he done. But when it come down to the end, his God failed him. My God ain't gonna fail you.
Amen.
My Jesus ain't gonna fail you. He'll be there to get your hand and take you across the river. He'll be there to encourage your heart, and that's why he says he'll do that, Sister Mary. But you flee idolatry. Because if you try to, idolatry is not going to take you across there. And he ain't to get grace for. It's not to get grace for, folks. It's to run from. Get away from idolatry. Keep it out of your life. Keep clear of it. You can't have an idol sitting in your house and say, I'm going to have grace over it. Get rid of it. Run from idolatry. When you see those places, put Jesus first in your life. That's what we sing about. That's what we read about. That's what we talk about. That's what we live for. It's about Jesus. He's our Savior. That's what he's about. There's nothing takes his place. Sure, listen, I like to pitch horseshoes. I enjoy sports. I like to run. I like to shoot basketball. I like to beat Planet Basketball. I like those kind of things. Even a little bit of competitiveness there. I enjoy those kind of things. But it ain't worth making a god out of. You know what I'm saying? You can't make a god out of it. I like the vehicle we got. The Lord gave us. I like that. I ain't going to lose my peace over that thing. Because there's something bigger than all that.
Amen.
Flee. Run. Folks, run from idolatry. Too many people make too big of things out of things that ain't worth making a big thing about. Don't make no idol over anybody. Other things that people want to do. Some people want somebody to be their God. Ain't somebody your God, folks. It's about Jesus. So you have mentors. You have people that exhort you. You have people that are there for the edification of the church. That's all they are. Quit trying to lift up a man to be something.
Amen.
That's all he can be. And as failing as we are, why would you want to bring us up any higher than that? The only thing we can do is point you to the Jesus that can save your eternal soul. That's all we will do. But many people want somebody to be their God. Somebody that I can just go to and say, hey, tell me, do I need to move? There's always some guy somewhere that wants to fill the role. And he'll puff his shoulders out, he'll get the pious and he'll put his hand by his back and he'll think real hard and he'll be real diligent about his things and he'll tell you, yes, the Lord's talked to me and he told me you can't go. Get it for yourself, brother. Jesus wants you to have a relationship to where he can tell you where you gotta go. Now listen, I ain't being independent. I hope you know that. It's good to go to your brother and say, pray with me. I feel like they might be at work. I might need to go. That's great. Go to somebody that's had the kind of experience and says, how does it work? God, that's all in God's order. God ain't making nobody his second lieutenant. Jesus is the one. We don't need a vicar of the Son of God. We got the Son of God. We can go straight to Him. Jesus is what it's about, folks. Jesus to your experience. We can have Jesus. I know He works in my life. I know He'll work in yours. So, what's our command? Flee it. Run. Get away from that stuff. Yeah, there's grace. There ain't grace for you to play with. You know there's grace to run with. There's grace to run away from things with. God give you the grace to run away from these things that will be influential on your life. So stay away from it. Get out of there. If you've had a smoking habit, I'd recommend that you stay away from it.
Yeah.
Well, I'll keep this pack in my pocket and have grace. How about you have grace enough to throw them in the trash can and run from the influence of it. Run from it. If it's been a hold on you, it got you down, run from that thing. There's another scripture over in 1 Timothy. Oh, let's see what's this in there. 1 Timothy, maybe 6. Let's get it back a little bit. 8th verse says, and having food and raiment, let us therewith be content. Now, okay. Having food and raiment, let us, I'll let that stand for itself. But that's what the Bible says. But they that will be rich fall into temptation and snares and into many foolish and hurtful lusts, which drown men in destruction and perdition. That's what the Bible says. Yeah. For the love of money, not money, for the love of money is the root of all evil, which while some converted after, they have erred from the faith and pierced themselves through with many sorrows. But thou, O man of God, flee these things. Run. Get away from that. Get away from that thinking. No, I can go on in my pursuit and love for this stuff and have grace. And he said, run. Run. There's grace to run away from it. Have grace and get away from it so that don't, you're not the one that it's pierced through. We live in a very prosperous time. And you may be here today and say you're a very poor person. But you ain't as poor as you think you are. You want to go see poverty, there's other places to go see it. And you ain't poor. For the most part, this nation is not poor. We're calling the federal government is labeled poor as somebody that's got a two-car garage and a dish on the top of their house. They've labeled it as poor from the income that's not poor. It's not poor when you have more than you can eat. It's not poor when you have more than you can have, than you need. That's not poor. The biblical definition of rich is having more than you need. Abundance of what you need. That's what this world today pretty much is. Let's just face it. We just spoiled about it. And so, cause I look at my neighbor and see that I ain't got as much as he has, then I'm not rich. I would be classified by income as being poor. I'm not poor. I'm rich. I'm a rich guy. I got more than enough. I got more enough to eat. I ain't missed any meals that I didn't want to. I got more than enough stuff. I've got junk all over the place. If I had a little bit more money, I'd get rid of all my junk and buy new stuff and then make it junk. I get tired of working on stuff. But you know why I work on stuff? You got it. I got it to work on. If I didn't have it to work on, wouldn't have to work on it. Go out in my mower, don't start riding lawnmower. Gotta fix it. Belt jumps off that, gotta put it on. You know why? Gotta ride in lawnmower. I got push mowers. I got three of them. Well, one of them don't work and the other wheel fell off of one the other day. Gonna have to fix them. They're kinda junky, but I got that. I got tillers. I got a tiller for my garden. I got an air compressor. I've got two generators, a small one and a big one. I'm not poor. I'm not poor. Flee the attitude. Flee the attitude and get the attitude of the blessedness of God. God's put us in a wonderful, wonderful time. And he said, flee these things. Flee. Run from that. Folks, you can say you're going to have grace, but as long as you embrace it, there's no grace for that. The answer is fleeing away from it. Run. There's grace to run. But that's what the Lord says to do. I can't have a problem with my eyes and then just go to the beach. just go to some crowded beach where everybody's loose. No. That's foolishness. Run! Run! You're going to say, well, I'm going to go and have grace. Well, no. Have grace not to go. Have grace to do it right. God has grace for us. If I ever find myself in those kind of places, God's got grace. But when I choose, he says flee. Run from those things. Want to look at another scripture? Is it along the same lines? This is 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy 2. The 19th verse says, nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure. I'm glad that it does. I believe it does. It never moves. It standeth sure. Thank God that I got something that I can go to, that I can stand on, knowing that it never moves. The foundation of God standeth sure. When I wobble, when I move, when the things around us move, when I don't understand the world, when the elections don't go the way I think they ought to, when I look and think that the whole thing's falling, the foundation of God standeth sure. Folks, listen, we need to get our hearts on God. You'll be much happier and successful when you get it off of this world and onto God whose foundation standeth sure. You think, well, this whole country's gone down. So, the eternal one's not. The one that I belong to's not. The one Jesus come and adopted me into, I ain't going nowhere. It's foundation. Stand it sure. It never moves. It's going to be as solid as the day Jesus built it. It's never moving. And I can depend on that. And oh, how many times in my despair, went to the Lord and poured my heart out to Him, and He makes the difference.
Yes, He does.
He makes a difference. When I pour myself out to Him, it makes a difference. And how many times I've got up from my place of prayer different than I got down. With a hope and a courage that His foundation sure is not going to move out from under me. I can trust in that.
Amen.
Having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. And let every one that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor. If a man therefore purge himself from these, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified and meet for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. It's good.
Yeah.
All right down the line of the great grace of God.
Yeah.
And then he says, flee also youthful lust, but follow righteousness,
yeah,
faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. Flee also youthful lust. He's saying mature. Mature out of that. Run.
Yes.
Get away from the influences. Be willing to leave the influences.
Yes.
Do you know, young people, that the scripture teaches that evil communications corrupt good manners? You know what that say is meaning? You got to get away from evil communications. When you're in an environment and in a place to where it's not conducive to good behavior, and the influence and peer pressures that are all on you, you know, I feel for the peer pressure situation, because I wasn't a person that was overly given to peer pressure. I was more of a loner when I was growing up, and peer pressure didn't bother me. But I understand it pretty well. I mean, I've had peer pressure on me. But I one thing I noticed when I matured and got older, I don't really care much what anybody else thinks. To be honest with you, you can't really peer pressure me into anything. I've already matured beyond the peer pressure. You understand what I'm saying? I'm not disregarding your importance to my life. I'm simply saying you can't peer pressure me into something that I don't want to do. I just got beyond that. You know, I mean, there's that kind of pressure on young people that happens. And there's some awful sad stories about that. But I'm already beyond that place in my life. And there's a warning for you, too. Stay out of bad situations, young people. Amen. Surround yourself with godliness.
Amen.
Surround yourself with somebody that you can say is, I'm having trouble, will you pray for me?
Yeah.
Don't put yourself around somebody that's going to say, oh, you don't pray, do you? Or what do you talk, God, for real? That you're a goody two-shoes, you're one of those that won't, here's a little, what's the new, we always called it weed. You bet, cannabis.
Got
cannabis. Ain't what we had a number of, I don't know, hoochie, I don't know, it was a number of names that went along with the weed. But when somebody says, hey, you want a toke? And you say, no, oh, you goody two-shoes, won't smoke it, says it. Flee.
Amen.
Flee! You don't need it! If that's somebody that needs to be, you get strong enough. You get the place. The Bible don't say, have grace for those things. Get away from it. Evil communications corrupts good manners. Leave, get out of that situation. Young people, preserve your purity, your soul, preserve yourself. There was a story. What an awful story it was. It was a story of a young girl. She was the picture perfect young girl. She was the only daughter of this couple. She got up into the freshman year of high school. She was an honor roll girl. She was a good girl. She had all these things that it was going for her. Straight A girl, popular, beautiful, all these things. And she saw this guy. He was a senior. And he's cool. Risque. He's the guy. He's popular. All of these things. And she falls for this guy. Bad choice. Buzzer out of sound on that one. Listen. Guard your hearts.
Amen.
For all of the other issues of life.
Yes.
Guard your heart about those things. We want to say that once your heart goes, the scripture says that your heart will deceive you. Oh, it'll deceive you. It'll make you think that this is euphoria coming. And it's nothing but the devil.
Amen.
Anyway, she fell for this guy, and first incident happens at the park, and she's a freshman girl. He's a senior guy. There's a group of people there, and all of a sudden they're having fun, kind of innocently having fun. She's there with the group. All seems to be proper. He pulls out some weed, rolls one. They start smoking. Comes around to her. I don't do it. Good for her. That's when she should have went. Put her track shoes on. I'm out of here. No. I don't do that. Oh, you've never done that. Oh, you don't know what you're missing. Oh, it's not addictive. Oh, this is I mean, I heard it all. Right? But she said no. Goody two shoes. All these things. And then the next time it was harder. She liked this guy. He's liking it her. Before long, it's, maybe it won't hurt to try. She tries it. By her sophomore year, she's at complete odds with her parents. Fighting all the time. They can't get anywhere with her. Her grades are plummeting. They're trying to save her from this, and she's thinking they're evil. They're bad. Bad parents. Bad parents doing stuff bad. Well, goes on by her junior year, she's a failure. She fails school. Completely fails it. Her grades are failing. She's not going to classes. the easy drugs turned to the harder drugs, and now she's doing hard drugs. Now she's not even with this guy anymore. She sits still and she's in there, and then they end up with these drugs, and it was bad drugs. And the story goes this way. She's sneaking out the windows at night. Her parents are having fits with her. Then they get a call from the police saying, "We found your daughter. She was in an abandoned house. She's overdosed." Her friends were there. She fell unconscious on the floor. It scared them. They all abandoned her. Friends. Friends, folks. Friends. They abandoned her. Left her there. They found her there. She's in the hospital. Comatose. Fried. With two tear stained faces sitting beside her. Guess who they were? Mom and Dad. Sitting there. When she wakes up from it, she wants to know where her friends are at. All the friends you got sitting here, young girl. They said at the end of this article that I read about this, they said that she'd never be right again. But these parents' whole hope and purpose was to be there to give her the best life that they could give her. That's good old mom and dad. Yes. My point is, flee youthful lust.
Amen.
Flee from those kind of things. Yes. There's no good in it for you. There's no good in that cavalier guy that comes along with the shiny car that doesn't want anything. Come on. Free the youthful lust. Get your heart as a young person set in Jesus Christ. Set in the valuable things, and you watch and see if you won't be blessed. Well, watch and see if your life won't be worth something and valuable. You'll have people around you that love you deeply and care for you and will sacrifice for you and give everything for you. You won't need somebody by your bedside. You'll have congregations by you. At least in spirit. Right, Brother Carl? Am I telling it wrong? Yeah. Hundreds of people will pray for you. Right, Sister Mary?
Right.
Am I telling them wrong? Won't you pray for them?
Right.
Will your prayer chain pray for them?
Yeah.
Will it be there to hold them up? Of course they will. Yeah. It'll be hundreds of saints. People everywhere will be gaining for you. There is, thank God, the great grace of God that takes care of us in everything. And then there's sometimes that the Lord just looks and says, run for your soul. Run for your soul. Get away from that thing. I can't label them all out, but the Holy Ghost can speak to everybody in here individually and say to you, run. You get out of that. That's not good for you. That's going to taint your soul. You pray for me. I want to be faithful.